Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome, in his own words, a citizen of the world, a very, very accomplished individual, someone who has been there, done that in every possible area that I can think of, Mr. Shailesh Haribhakti from Mumbai. Shailesh, welcome to the show. Shailesh is a pioneer, he's an entrepreneur, he's an innovator, he's an author, he's a board chairman, sits on several boards, he's an educationist, and he won his spurs when he was young as a chartered accountant. So Shailesh, when I was reading about you, I read a lot about your passion for ESG, the environmental, social, and governance issues that face our country and the world. So let's talk about ESG today. Let me start with asking you, how much importance is being given by ESG by the Indian corporate sector?
If I take the period of the last 2 years, mm-hmm. I think the importance being placed on ESG is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You see you open this morning's paper mm-hmm. and you see the statement of the chairperson of Vedanta. Yeah. And the entire thing is completely on ESG, mm-hmm. on sustainability.
Correct.
You open to the Prime Minister's mm-hmm. speech at CII mm-hmm. and you will see major references to managing risk, which is purposeful governance. You will see the pronouncements of all the people who are running our finances, and they are talking exactly this. The three risks that corporate India is managing most mm-hmm. closely mm-hmm. is the climate risk, mm-hmm. the cybersecurity risk,
yeah.
which also has as its reciprocal, if you like,
yeah.
the digitalization challenge. Mm-hmm. And the third risk is of human welfare and mm-hmm. human safety. Now, when I put all of this together and I see the quantum of time on boards that we are now allocating to these issues and this management of risk and in this manner, mm-hmm. I see that we have got centered on this. Mm. And this is a tremendous wedge. Today, maybe 20-30% of the board's time goes in these discussions.
Okay.
I suspect that it will rise to 60-70% mm-hmm. over the next 3 to 5 years, particularly as the framework that SEBI has given us, mm-hmm. this business responsibility and reporting, mm-hmm. that is going to be a very, very important. DRSR is going to be the watchword.
Yes. Fascinating. And, you did talk about climate, cybersecurity, and human welfare. But what are some of the ESG-related challenges that India faces other than these three?
So the challenges we face are the complete neglect of our polluting substances going into our, if you like, the commons. Mm. Rivers are our commons. Streams are our commons. Mm. Seas are our commons. Mm. Mountains are our commons.
Correct.
Lakes are our commons. Mm. We've got silted lakes. We've got plastic strewn all over lakes. We've got rivers which are polluted with chemicals. We've got all of this has happened. Mm. And more or less, first it happened because we didn't know any better. Then it happened because there was no regulatory control over it. Mm. When the regulation came, we started doing it as a dodge to costs. And now it has come to halt. So every person is now getting focused either by a regulator or by a notice of the pollution control mm-hmm. board or by their own board. Somebody else on the board saying that this is not on.
Correct.
How can we use single-use plastic and just let it go? Hmm. How can we not have a circular economy? How can you not have this whole passion to make sure that our commons remain usable as commons.
Hmm.
The air we breathe, the water we drink, we are polluting that.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. And yet, you know, when I was reading about 5 or 6 months ago, there was an announcement that India is ahead of its goals on the Paris Accord. So
very true.
That
very
seems true. To be a mismatch, isn't it?
No, the reason why we are there, Ashutosh, mm-hmm. is because we benefit most from energy transition.
Mm-hmm.
We got onto the path of renewables much earlier than everybody.
Okay.
And we have been able to bring the commercial cost of renewables down to a level where it doesn't make sense to not have renewables
mm.
in your energy mix. That is what is giving us this big advantage. The second thing that we as a country were about to get focused on, and I'm sad that we didn't,
mm-hmm.
was to go fully into EV vehicles.
Okay.
You know, it was pronounced maybe, I don't know, 2-3 years ago,
yeah.
that we should have no more production of the old version of mm. the vehicles that we use. But that spirit got lost.
Mm.
Thankfully, it has now caught on
mm-hmm.
because every major company across the world, vehicle making company, is saying we are going EV.
Correct.
Beginning with Volkswagen yeah. and Toyota and everybody.
Mm.
And then down to Tata's. I'm so glad that Tata's have taken a stand, and so has Mahindra's.
Mm.
You know, we need everything EV. We
yes.
need trucks, we need tractors, we need scooters, we need cars, we need everything.
Very well
which
said.
Is EV and autonomous.
Very well said. And, you know, Bill Gates, on the other hand, also made a comment that the world only has 10 years left.
Absolutely right.
Some people are saying that the time for recovery is over. And yet we have realized in the pandemic that if you give Mother Nature time to heal, she heals herself.
Brilliant. I resonate so completely with that. It was during COVID
mm-hmm.
that I got back into total re-education of myself.
Well said.
Because I said, what is it that we need to truly learn?
Mm.
And then I discovered that what we need to learn about is the technologies
mm.
which are clean. We have to learn how to make our planet clean.
Mm.
And I focused on breathing clean air and drinking clean water from the tap.
Mm.
I said, that is the day for which all of us should be working.
Correct. Correct.
And then everything came together.
Mm.
ESG, sustainability, energy transition, EV, technology, digital, everything comes together.
Yeah, well said. And you've done some amazing writing also on some of these subjects. So I've been reading some of that. But, you know, again, let me take you back to the mid-90s. And I used to live in Singapore. And I remember when there was a climate change meeting in Brazil, the then Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad actually commented saying that the Western world used up all its natural forests for their own growth, and now they're stopping us from doing that. So my question to you, Shailesh, is that does an ambitious GDP growth plan contradict an ESG strategy?
Not at all.
Okay.
The entire ESG strategy I have shown in one of my articles can be embedded into the central government's budget
okay.
and into the budget of every state government, every municipal corporation, and indeed every company.
Okay.
And we will prosper like we have never prospered before. Because only then will we bring convergent technologies to our doorstep.
Okay.
We can do 3D printing.
Mm.
We can do food from petri dishes.
Mm.
Non-vegetarian food being made in a totally new manner. As you know, Singapore gave the freedom
yeah.
to do,
yeah.
You know, what they call good meat
mm.
In September last year.
Yeah.
It is made from originally from the DNA of mm. the animal that you whose meat you wish to produce in a petri dish and then
productionize
it. And across the board, I can sense that if we are blinding us by not taking on and embedding ESG into our budgeting and planning processes.
Very interesting. So, you know, a follow-up question to you would be that for someone who has done so much work on ESG and who has so much knowledge, for Indian companies, what is the low-hanging fruit that they can go after first?
Energy transition.
Okay.
And autonomous vehicles.
Okay.
And EV vehicles. I tell people everywhere, take a pledge, you'll never again buy an internal combustion engine vehicle. Never again. All that you will buy is an EV. And we need to get that infrastructure going. We need to get, I say all this for dramatic impact. I know it won't happen tomorrow. But we need to actually generate that spirit. And make sure that people begin to think about it seriously.
Well said. Very well said. Very well said. And another question relating to ESG is, you know, the thinking of the millennials and the Gen Zs. They are the people who are inheriting an earth that people of my generation have messed up. What is your view on how are the millennials and the Gen Zs reacting?
They don't want to work with a company which does not have a purpose driven by ESG.
Okay.
I can tell you that from, I have children and grandchildren and I continuously talk to them. And they just cannot bear the thought of our destroying our world. And they cannot believe that their grandfather or father, as the case may be, is not engaged in actually saving that. So they will not go to work in a company which does not have this purpose led. So that is the rub. Fortunately, the largest financial institutions, the largest sovereign fund, the largest banks and all are now embedding this into their decision, which is the second big thrust in the world.
Very interesting. You know, I sit on a couple of advisory boards internationally on impact investing. And a lot of impact investing in the West is happening in climate change and some of the SDGs of the UN. What is happening in our country?
The same. A lot of that is happening in our country in a big way. So I was listening to Vinod Khosla, who I think is one of the very admirable Indians.
True.
And the way he's thinking about hydrogen and completely pollution-free energy and energy transition happening at a scale that we today are only dreaming of. But he is putting his money where his mouth is.
Correct.
He is also deeply engaged in the technology to turn land use to positive change. You know, the biggest saving in carbon footprint can happen if we re-engage ourselves with how we use our land. You know, I just saw ACC, I chair their sustainability committee. So they showed us this video of a village where they simply got them to plant their crops in straight lines and raise the productivity by 100% in one crop. Now that we are at such low productivity levels in terms of land use. So then I asked them, that suppose you were to nurture 100 fruit trees and you were to get 5x of what you're earning from the same spot of land that you are today assigning to commodity crops. They said, sahab, ye to kisi ne bataya nahi. Batate to hum kar lete.
Amazing. Amazing.
You know, we can go 6x in our fruit tree allocation. And if we do that, our farmers' incomes can easily triple.
Wow. And solve a lot of our problems.
The biggest biggest demand factor will be that. The rural demand, when it starts wobbling, the whole country starts falling.
Correct. Correct. Well said. So I'm going to now move to the next segment of our conversation. And I've often been asked this question myself about individuals joining boards as independent directors. You know, the law has now become so difficult for independent directors, if I can use the term, that my fiduciary responsibility as an independent director is the same as that of an executive director. You have served on so many boards, you continue to serve on so many boards. So my first question that I want to ask you is, what do you look for before you accept a board position?
Fantastic question, Ashutosh. All of us must know what is the state of governance and the state of the mind of the company in terms of ethical conduct, governance mechanisms, making sure that everything is, from a regulatory point of view, kosher. This first examination itself will put a lot of people to thinking, how can we transition from what we were to what we need to be to attract the right kind of people to sit on our boards? So I do very strong diligence. But often, you know, after you are onto a board, what happens is you are not able to fully control the promoter, if there is a promoter in the company, or of the person who has in charge of the company. In which case, you need to be strong enough to ask the right questions and put the guardrails in and do your very best to make sure that the non-compliance is occur.
Very interesting.
And you have to document. If you document that, the law will protect you as an independent director.
Okay.
And therefore, there is a great joy in being an independent director in a already highly well-governed company, which has its own, own good things to happen. But I also have half my boards, if you see, are in startups and in companies which need dramatic, can do with dramatic improvements and dramatic growth. And I enjoy that as much as I enjoy the, conducting and fully ethical and, you know, good governance boards, because there is challenge.
Correct.
That we can do something, we can contribute something tangible and some good value will come. It's good to have a mix of boards.
I agree with you. But my question to you is that in a country which is encouraging startups, where startups are very quickly becoming, you know, prominent, either in terms of valuations or sales or whatever, how does a startup promoter ensure transparency and good governance at a board level?
You know, often when you are at the very beginning of a startup and you've got only your money at stake, then you do the right things because it hurts you if you do the wrong thing.
Correct.
The minute you get a co-founder, co-investor, or you get your first round, or you get, God forbid, your second and third and fourth rounds in quick succession, then you will need somebody to tell you what is good for you. Somebody who will keep you in check, because you will then keep needing that next round until you become IPO worthy. And for that, you need good governance.
Okay.
So market teaches you that you need to have good governance. Otherwise, nobody will give you money. The big money doesn't come if at least there is no promise of good governance.
Okay. So I'm now going to move to the last segment, which is some questions for you personally. A lot of our young viewers and listeners like to hear a few questions answered by our guests, which are personal questions. So my first question to you, Shailesh, you know, as you look back at life in a very, very successful life so far, what would you say are three key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
So the first pivot point was when I was offered a scholarship to go to Cambridge, mm-hmm. Based on my performance at the ICSE exam. Mm-hmm. So I was the top student that year. Mm-hmm. And I decided to stay in India,
okay.
And go to the Sydenham College, mm-hmm. which was a fantastic pivot point, because there I met some of the finest minds that I still keep very closely in touch with.
Wonderful.
We used to discuss Bertrand Russell, and we used to discuss ways that we can turn the world around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many different things we did in Sydenham College. And I still keep very close touch with my friends,
okay.
From way back in 1971. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the first pivot point. Mm-hmm. The second pivot point was when I went to Arthur Young and Company, mm-hmm. and worked there for 14 months.
Okay.
Came back and got to teach at the IIM Ahmedabad.
Okay.
So I taught there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And some of the students who were there in my class, some of them were elder to me. I was only, 27 or something, mm-hmm. or 28, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we had a fantastic time, because mm-hmm. it was more or less like a peer teaching over there, just because I happened to have whatever push. And today, some of my strongest relationships are with my students, mm-hmm. who were there in my class. So that was the second pivot point.
Yeah.
And the third pivot point was when I, in a string, went into heading a whole lot of organizations, mm-hmm. One after another. Bombay Management Association, the Merchants Chamber, the Rotary Club of Bombay. These are all great lessons in humility,
right.
In leadership, in hard work, in giving back to society what you got from society.
Fantastic.
So those are the three pivot points.
Fabulous. I've got time for two more questions, and I'm trying to debate what to ask you, but I wanted to ask you this question on failure. I've often said that parents in India, that includes me, don't teach children it's okay to fail. We are always taught come first, go to the head of the line. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns.
Correct.
Yet we fail, we learn. My question to you, Shailesh, is what have been your learnings from your mistakes?
Amazing question. And I feel all of us need to be totally humble, because we all make huge mistakes,
correct.
Not just small mistakes. We make very huge mistakes. Hmm. Some of them they lead to physical sort of outcomes which are adverse to you.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, that was the case. I pushed myself too hard and then a few stops.
Yeah.
But then you kind of recover.
Correct.
Second, it may give you psychological scars. And those are the ones that you learn from a lot. When somebody did something that I never expected anybody to do to me.
Mm.
I learned the big lesson that if somebody is not good to you, be doubly good to them.
Okay.
And I practiced that.
Wonderful.
So if somebody does something bad to me, I'm doubly good. And that is, to my mind, the simple way to learn from your failures and get forward in life. And I never keep any grudge for anybody. I hate to speak behind anybody's back. So those lessons you learn because of failures.
Fantastic.
Because somebody could be speaking about you on your back.
Very well, sir. Very well, sir. And then my last question to you, and this is for the thousands of young people who will listen to everything you are saying. What would your advice be to a young individual who's starting off on her or his journey in the corporate world?
I would say be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Choose your own path.
Mm-hmm.
Be confident. The world will come to your doorstep and support you.
Okay.
It's world always makes a path to you.
True.
So keep yourself open to every opportunity.
Very well
said. Grab it. Grab it when it comes.
Very well said. Shailesh, thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking me on this amazing journey of your knowledge on ESG and for sharing such incredible thoughts about the directorship and so many of your own personal thoughts. So thank you again and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.